following program
is the officially sanctioned podcast
where three friends
talk about the show
about four friends
who compete to embarrass each other.
The Practical Joker Podcast.
Woo! Yes.
Back again. You missed us so much, and we've missed you. I miss being inside of your ear holes. I'm Casey Jost. You're listening to the Official and Practical Jokers Podcast with my friends.
I'm James McCarthy, coming in your ear hole like a Q-tip.
And I'm sorry, but I'm your sister, and I'm Shay. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not your friend.
I see. Family. I see what you mean, Shay. I understand.
Yeah, I'm not your friend.
I'm here with my brother, James McCarthy, and my sister, Siobhan Shay DeBerry. Yes,
we're family, damn it.
Yeah, we don't have friends. We have family, which is not from Fast and Furious. They took that from us, even though they came out first.
Did I ever tell you, Shay, that my aunt's name is Siobhan?
She's a wonderful person. Amazing. Does she spell it the Irish way?
Yes, it's S-I-O-B-H-A-N. Yes.
So my mom, she was going to do it that way.
Hmm.
And then she was like, nobody's going to pronounce it right. They're not going to be able to spell it. So I'm going to do C-H-A accent over the A. people go to school and like we learn our accents and remember the accents. So I still get Siobhan and Cha and all this other stuff.
Cha, yeah, right? I know. I bet you get a lot of like Che too.
Che and Cha. Michael.
You know what's funny is like the impact you've had on the Impractical Jokers, when the guys talk about Michael Che, they call him Michael Shay.
Shay, yes.
Isn't that funny? Like you've heard a performer's name because of your influence on the guy. They'll be like, yeah, Michael, they'll be like, you're, they'll be like, Casey, your brother, Colin and Michael Shay.
Shay. Michael Shay, yeah.
I mean, I will also say this, the guys are not, cunning linguists, let me say. They're not, I think in this episode, you'll hear Joe say ideas. He's like, yeah, we got some ideas here. They're a little R on the end of it. So, I mean, I'm from Jersey, but went to school in Brooklyn when I started out. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised when I was in college and found out the word human has an H sound in it.
Yep.
Because growing up, it was all just human and huge. Like you don't say the H at all. Like when your teacher is teaching it to you that way, you're just like, I guess that letter is silent. Yeah. But you're supposed to say like Hugh Grant.
It's human.
Human.
Yeah.
Got to make that H noise in there. It's not our fault. The teachers didn't teach us, man.
They got to teach you what's right and wrong. And I'll tell you what, guys, in a segue, what's right is if you find money on the ground, you bring it, you offer it up to the people who work there.
That's what you do, right? You give it to the people that work in the place. You don't keep it. You give it to the employees. As soon as you find any money anywhere, you find out who works there and you give it to
them. What's the most money you've ever found?
I found $40.
Ooh.
But I was with someone, so I split it.
Oh, that's what you do. That's just what you do. I think I found 200 once.
Whoa.
Mm.
And it wasn't in a wallet. Like I found a wallet with money, maybe even more. And I remember like it was on Staten Island. And so me and my friends like drove to the address and we put it in the mailbox or something like that. I forget. Like I remember, I don't think I saw the guy, but we drove it to the house and we felt really good about it.
Oh, wow.
Aww.
That's great. I remember being like, I remember my friend being like, should we ask for a reward? And I was like, no, this is the test. I think I was really into karma at the time.
You wish you had that $200 right now, don't you?
Right now?
Yes.
No, but like maybe like when I'm like on, I don't know, some website and I'm like, should I get this? Then I'm like, I wish I ripped off that Staten
Island. It's probably already come back in some way. If you believe in karma, you've made more than $200 since then. So, I'm sure some of that is coming off that karma brooch,
I wish that that guy, when I gave him the wallet, he said, you know what? I'm going to give you this money. Let me just stick it down your pants.
I wish that too.
So if you return the wallet, not the money, is that still good? Because that's like your reward for returning the wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's a great consolation prize. If I had $200 in a wallet, but then someone gave me back the other stuff, like my ID and my
that pays
insurance, all that, I'd be like, fine, take the money. That's my message to people. If anybody finds my wallet, just give me the wallet.
But that happened to me and my buddies. Cause it's funny, I was trying to think of the last time I found money or whatever, but we found a wallet in a cab with a cell phone, called the guy, he called himself or texted himself or whatever. We were able to get in touch with him. And when he came to pick it all up, he just took the cash out of the wallet and gave it to us.
See?
Wow. So it was like that thing. Yeah.
That's the way to be. Nice.
Cause he was just so happy. I mean, it was his phone.
That's karma on karma on karma.
Yeah.
And you were in a car when you found it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's karma. Exactly. It's karma.
Oh, exactly.
And Kama Sutra.
All of those things. Yeah. I got a lot better at sex after that.
Yeah. All right.
Well, confused before that.
Speaking of sticking money down people's pants, that's what Murr had to ask. And all right. So I have a pitch.
Yep.
It's too late, but I wish that, you know how the episode, they have a little quote.
Yeah.
I wish it was, I relish the opportunity to hold on to this 20. That's what the guy says.
Yes.
Oh, you mean like before, like the,
it's usually something that the Jokers say. For once, I would like to have it be something the Mark says, and I think this would be the top contender. I love that he said that. I relish the opportunity to hold on to the 20.
That sentence was a roller coaster for me because I thought he was about to do it. When he said, I relish the opportunity, I was like, he's going to do it. And then he's like, don't hold on to it. I was like, you tricked me, sir.
What? I mean, it was just like, what a fun, articulate like sentence to say after this interaction happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really great. That was fun.
But you know what's really funny? Like, again, talking about how dumb our job is sometimes, was like talking about this idea with the guys and talking about the right denomination of money for this to be right. And does it have to be money? Can it be a coupon? Should it be something else? I'm like, no, it's all right. It came, talk about that for 2 hours. You get lunch, you come back. All right, it's got to be money. How much money? $1, $5, 10, like 20, 50. Because we were like, 50 people aren't going to give it back. No way. Yeah. That was the breaking point. Mm-hmm. Like maybe if there was a $25, $30 bill, you can make that argument. But like we're like 50, there's no way. Like
perfect.
The guys can't win. But 20 was the amount that they settled on. That was like
perfect.
I'm trying to remember. Did we ever do the coffee shop free coupon?
Yeah, we did.
We did it, right?
Uh-huh.
Is it airing or did it air?
Yeah, no, it aired like a couple seasons ago. It was memorable. Don't you remember? That's like,
I mean, yes, but like there's so many bits that I'm like, I can't remember if I dreamed it. It's like,
wait, what bit is this?
So, all right. So it's similar. It's like they let somebody go ahead of them. And then that person is like the 100th customer.
Yes.
And
gets I remember this one.
And then the Joker needs to be like, can I get that? Yeah. And I just love, I remember when we were talking about it in the room, just pitching it, because I love just how awkward it is for something that you kind of deserve, but you don't. Nobody deserves anything. And it's like, this is exactly the same kind of bit.
Yeah. And I remember when it was getting talked about in the room with the guys and just like the phrase, like, gosh, you're so lucky. Like
yes.
After they went, and that's, I think, what sold it, made it go on TV. It was just like the guys being like, man, what if everyone's got to be like, gosh, you're so lucky. Can't believe you won. Listen, I could use it because some bullshit reason, right?
Yeah. Like this. Like yeah, exactly. My pipes are clogged. Toilet's been clogged since Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But I got to say, that relish the opportunity guy is my mark of the episode. But
yep.
Frankie Valli's cooler older brother is so close. I mean, he actually, I'm so glad that he exists as a human being.
Yeah, no.
And he was a nice guy.
No, that's
beautiful,
the
man.
End,
beautiful
he was
man.
A nice guy.
When he's so like, he's like, yeah, I'll let you use the toilet.
Like, I live across the street. Can I use the bathroom? Sure.
Because the guy who kept the money, and he was in the right. He's like, I want to feed my kids. And I'm like, to me, like, that's exactly what I want out of this. But then Frankie Valli, older, cooler older brother shows up and you're like, this guy's the best.
Yeah, I love that guy. Yeah, the feed my kids dude was like definitely like had enough after a while and was like just ready to walk away.
I like that Q doubled down though, because most people I think would go, this guy just said like feed my kids, and Q was like, yeah, but my toilets. It's like he turned it into sudden death debate against this guy, like you know what I mean? It was like that guy and him, and then he was like, hey, let me get your opinion, cooler Frankie Valli older brother.
But
he hit him with the split. He hit him with the split.
He said he did, and then he kept it and walked away.
Right.
So he thought about it, but he didn't.
That's
do it.
Right.
This is what I was thinking. If he did give him 10, what would happen with the thumbs up? Does he get half a thumb? That's my question.
That's what I was thinking.
That we've never had before, a half thumb. down.
Yeah, I think judgment. I think you round down. I know in most places in math you round up. In Practical Jokers, I think you round down. That's a thumb down. Your goal is to get the 20. That is your goal. It is not get any money. So I think you round down, but we'll see. It's up to the guys.
Round down, as in the thumbs down.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair. And then honestly, I don't think that there's something that has made me laugh in a couple days more than the dead skunk lands. That whole dead skunk.
Yeah.
Like, all right. So I will say this on the record. This is my favorite Joe Gatto. When Joe Gatto is like, it's very similar to the "it's on the brotch" Joe Gatto. When he slips into this, like, he's like, you know, there was a kid outside selling a dead skunk for 20. Like, you know what I mean? Yes. I could go back out and get it. And then he was like, do you want to split the dead skunk? And the woman is perfect too. She's like, how do you mean? And he's like, I just need the skunk glands. Like the back and forth between Q feeding him this and Joe saying it is just, it's poetry. It's ballet. It's so funny.
It was awesome, man. And that, there's so many things going on here. Cause first of all, Joe can't pick up the money from the ground from an older lady. Like, he wanted to pick up the money for her. You could tell Joe didn't want the old lady to, she's not old, but like older woman to like bend down to pick up the money. He actually like wanted to at least pick it up and give it to her hand, but he wouldn't do it because he couldn't because of the gameplay. And then
the gameplay, baby.
Yeah. And then was she French? What was the accent? She had an accent, right?
I think it's just old New York.
Oh, that's, that was old New York. Yeah. That's what I call. Like old New York, like New Amsterdam stuff. Like that's like, she's actually a ghost that made it onto our show.
Yeah.
And she didn't understand the concept of money.
It's like Ebenezer Scrooge's like friend. Yeah,
exactly.
Dead.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it was so funny watching that. I wanted a Pepe Le Pew joke. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I thought she was French. I thought that was coming out with the
skunk. Maybe she was. I couldn't handle it. I was just too obsessed with Joe. And I was I texted him. I wrote, just watch the dead skunk glance bit during the drop $20 challenge. And I have tears. And I said, when you bring this energy, I can't handle it. It's so funny. And he wrote, oh, thanks, buddy. I'm glad you enjoy my insanity. And it's true. It's like, he goes out there. It's so funny. It's symphony. It's ballet, guys. I love it.
And again, I just got to talk about how awkward it is on the floor for a second. Mm. Like, so in Practical Jokers, the guys are out there. They're in a grocery store. By the way, this is pre-pandemic. You see nobody in the masks, like whatever. They're in the grocery store.
This is a pre.
But when you're on there and you're out on the floor, outside of hearing the guys in your ear, you don't hear any laughter. You're interacting with this person in the supermarket, arguing with her about like needing $20 to get skunk glands. And that's the reality. That's your life. You're living in that moment for whatever it is, 5-10 minutes. It is super weird, man, because you're doing a comedy show with no laughter and you just, all the comedy is like in the back. You hear the guys like dying and laughing. I mean, it's just so unique. It's really hard to tell the fans what it's like to live it. But like, you know, all of us have done like little bits on the show before and you get to live it. It is so weird. It is so weird to do something that everyone else is telling you is so funny and nobody is laughing at all.
I know.
In the room that you're in.
It is weird. They've done this for so long that they must all be sociopaths. They must be at a phase now where they've like created sociopaths. Like they've turned each other into sociopaths.
Yeah, you're just like, okay, honestly though, for you two, has it happened to you a little bit? Like where you go somewhere and you need to get something or whatever. And you're just like, I know that I can smooth talk this guy to get in. I'll start there. Has it happened to you?
I'll say this. This is slightly different, but similar in that I think I'm a little nutty in that I was at a place the other day, but as I was leaving, I noticed a guy asked the woman, I was like, can you hold this book for me? Mm-hmm. And as we left, I had the urge to say, hey bro, I'm gonna go buy that book. Like I'm gonna go offer like a little extra for that book. Yeah. Like I just wanted to like hit him with something that would be like where he'd be like, why? Like you don't even know what book it is. But I wanted to like I everywhere I go, I have the urge to do something that's a little bit inappropriate.
Yes.
Because of this show.
Yeah.
Like I want to test boundaries. A guy's like, hey, can you hold this book? I'll be back in 10 minutes. I wanted to be like, I'm gonna go, hey buddy, I'm gonna go buy that book. I'm gonna be like, or like, I'm gonna be waiting here. You're 11 minutes late. I'm getting that book.
That's really funny, man. Yeah, it's weird. Actually, it's happened to me in that way too, where you just like, you react in a way as if there's like a BTS, but there isn't. Like me and my buddies went to like a roller rink one time for something. And it was something where they do like the, you know, the wristbands that they just like, you know, put on and it sticks to an adhesive, but I've got, you know, hairy forearms and the lady that did it, got, you know, when you get that little, your little
oh my gosh.
To the, adhesive and it pulls a little bit and it hurts. And when she did it and she put it on the adhesive, I go, ooh, my arm hair, like that, in that voice. And she like died laughing. My friends were like looking at me like, what the hell did you just do? I'm like, oh, like I've been working on this show for too long, where it's just like, I could see the guys doing something where you just like do that little silly falsetto, like, ooh, my arm hair. And then, yeah, it's like, I embarrass myself for no reason, you know?
Oh, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm like 35 now, but when I go out to dinner, like I'm looking to embarrass Lisa, my wife. I'm looking to do all those, like I'm like meta, or like ironically saying those jokes that you say to waiters to, you know what I mean? That they get all the time, you know, just to be like, can you tell I liked it? You know, like I'll play up that character just to embarrass my wife.
Oh yeah.
So like, yes, I know what you mean. Like there's definitely something has switched in me that I'm not afraid to look embarrassed.
It's true, man.
I don't do a character, but I feel like I'm more confident when I speak to like waiters. So if I'm at a restaurant or anything, I'm like,
yeah.
So you're not going to give me that. You have like, I drink Casamigos.
Yeah.
Just my drink of choice, tequila. So you don't have Casamigos. So you telling me nobody can go to that liquor store that's on the corner and get Casamigos?
Wow, Shay, I love you.
I do one of those, which is bad, but I do one of those.
That's a good energy. Yeah.
No, but that's the kind of person that gets what they want. And that's what you're paying for.
Right.
100%. I'm going to tip you. You're going to get a good tip.
Yeah. I think I might be more in the case camp of just trying to embarrass my wife. Like we did a tour. We're at like a science museum in like San Francisco and stuff. We did a tour and it was really cool. It was a great tour. I just remember like at some point I got a little bored. Like I think we all get into comedy at some point because like you were the kid that got bored and started making jokes with your friends and stuff in the classroom. And it's just a thing. I got a little bored and we're coming up to stairs just to go up to like the roof of this building to check out like their compost garden or something. And like in the crowd of people, I was there and I just started mumbling like a little bit loud to my wife, like, oh man, I don't know how stairs work. Like, oh no, like, I'm like, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. And I start like, we're in the back. And so it's just like, maybe the people in front of me can hear. And she's like, stop it. So I'm like, oh no, this is bad. And I start like stumbling up the stairs and like grabbing onto the railing and like being, oh God, oh, not again. And she's like dying laughing. And the people ahead of me are like laughing a little bit. And some folks are like, you okay? I'm like, no, yeah, it's fine. It's just stairs are not my thing. It's just like a dumb thing you would do on the show, but there's no audience except, I guess, my wife at that point, and just trying
it's
to like
embarrass.
It's
funny to you, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny to me.
And it's not hurting. I guess it's not hurting anybody either, right? Like that's like the thing of our show. It's like you're just embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. That's fun. That's a nice little moment. Thanks for sharing that little slice of life between James and Phoebe. I want to see more of that.
Listeners, there's no rules out there. That's what I'm saying. Go and enjoy yourselves. Like
it's
you can
confidence thing.
Yeah,
but I will say, and this is something that Sal says in this turn. He goes after this whole thing where the woman gets the, you know, like she's like, I'll probably buy these chips with this money. And then they make, and then they stop Sal in his tracks. He's about to say like, I won't squander it on fast food. That's hard. Mm-hmm. It's such a small little thing, but it's hard. It really is. I wouldn't do that. And I feel like I'm pretty fearless. Oh, like I'm not afraid to embarrass myself, but this is beyond it.
Yeah.
Because you're not only painting yourself to be this like dick, you're also making this woman feel bad.
Yeah, and actually, this is a great point, Casey. This is a time where it is like, we can't do that stuff in our real lives because we don't have the safety net of being on TV. And then afterwards, like to an extent, like to be honest, like you saw a little bit gets left off the hook here because after that woman leaves the aisle, someone's going to release and be like, hey, you're just on a show called Impractical Jokers. Like he was forced to say that. He didn't think that. Like his friends are trying to embarrass him. And she's like, oh my God, thank God. I thought he was a lunatic. And that makes her feel better about her day and everything else. And like, he's like, yeah, he was forced to do it. Where, yeah, if you just say that to someone in your real life, you are just a dick. Like that's, and then you'd be like, oh, my friend dared me to do it. But even then, people are like, whatever, that's not as cool. Like,
but I won't squander it on fast food like you will. even if they're going to sign a release or find out that it's a joke like 5 minutes later,
yeah,
that's hard. That's a brutal 20 seconds, 30 seconds,
sure.
A minute, 2 minutes, however long you'd live in that interaction.
You don't know how she's going to react.
No, you don't. Because she could start crying.
I'm crying. How would you feel, Shay?
I don't know, who are you talking to? I don't know. My reaction's a little different.
You would
throw hands. Yes, 100. She would fill these hands. But my reaction is a little different.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a hard line to say, even though you know she's going to get released in a second and find out it's a show. But it is one of those things, too. It's like, you see the guys reject lines all the time on the show where they're just like, you know what? It's just not worth it to me. I'd rather lose than say this. You know, sometimes you see Sal like doing the math where he's like, I think I can say this and let it land softly. I like try to spin it in a way that it's not, it's like, you know, it's on fast food. Like who wouldn't spend on fast food? Like, you know, like one of those things.
Right. Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. But even so, like, it's the way it all started too, where she kind of was like, I actually don't know whose money this is. Maybe it is mine. I'm not sure. I just passed by here. I didn't see it until then. And then she was like, well,
she knew that wasn't hers.
Really? You think so?
I do.
Yeah.
You had to look at her when she first realized when he said something. At first, it took a minute for her to even look at the money. Yeah. Like they kept trying to get her to actually look at the money on the floor. She knows she didn't drop that money. She knew that wasn't her damn money.
I believe that it's possible that in a part of her, she was like, I was just here. Maybe I knocked it out of my pocket.
That's why I love you, Casey.
I think too well of people.
It's tough though too, because it's like Sal's admitting it's not his money. So it's like at this point, you're just like, well, if it's not yours and I'm holding it, possession's 9/10 of the law here. So like, why are we even having this conversation? Like,
I get, yeah.
It's so funny. I always hear that expression, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means. I have no idea. What is 9/10 of the law? What is 9/10?
I guess it means 9 out of 10 times you're going to keep it. But I want to know, what is that 1/10 where you're not going to keep it?
And is it good that it's 1/10 of the law? Or is that bad? I don't understand that. I've never did any kind of legal school. I have no idea what I've said that. I think I've with confidence have said like, hey, possession's 9/10 of the law. No idea what that means. Yeah. No idea what that means. That's a fraction I don't even understand. 2/3, I get that fraction. Yeah. 9/10, don't get that fraction.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I know that's it's
roughly, you know, 90% or
90 out exactly. 90%. Yeah. I understand that. I understand fractions to that degree, but of the law there's a percentage in the law.
Yeah. Laws, you should kind of black or white there. I guess like, what if somebody was just like, fine, let's litigate. Let's go.
Is this something to do with squatters' rights? I don't know.
Squatters' rights. I do not understand that at all.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. These are things that I've said confidently, like, hey, possession 9/10 of that law.
Yeah.
No idea what it means.
You know, who's my favorite friend for things like that?
Who?
Siri, because I don't know anything.
Yeah, Siri's very helpful.
So I'm going to ask her when we wrap this up. What does that mean? I'll let you know in the next one.
I talk to Siri a lot. Siri, you know, Siri, especially by walking a dog, and I've got like AirPods in my ears. Yeah. I talk to Siri all the time. Ask her a lot of questions. Ask her to call my friends for me. It's like the greatest assistant.
Oh, yeah. Siri's good in the car. She's a great friend when you're driving. Yes. Siri's good.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. When I'm home, you know, I throw a little bit of shade at Siri, and I actually talk to Google.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Alexa.
I would say I cheat with Alexa.
Yeah.
You really? You cheat on Siri with Alexa?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I went. Yep, there you there go. She's talking. She runs her mouth, though. She better Alexa know her place cancel. And shut up. You ready to do
another one, bro? Alexa, cancel. She stopped playing music. I don't.
She's trying to dance with you. She's trying to flirt.
See? Me and Alexa, we got a nice little relationship.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's amazing. That's so fun. So, all right. So this next bit we're going into is please subscribe, like a subscription box kind of thing.
Oh.
Pitching these ideas, which we were excited for this for a long time, because this is one that, like, you know, the producers like me and you and John Bergio, John Zaluga, John Escrabis.
Yeah, Sharon Paul.
Sharon. Like our whole crew is like, this is one that's fun to pitch the guys to see if they want to use them for the bit. And everybody kind of went out guns blazing.
Yeah. It's a fun one, man. Coming with fake businesses and subscription services. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. The one thing I have to say, this was like, cause we almost filmed this pre-pandemic. We're about to do it. And then, okay. So a little background on, we're going to do it in a place where, there's like, again, imagine pre-pandemic life. Take yourselves back there now, listeners. We're going to film in a place where you would actually be able to sign up for the service like on the spot. Like it was going to be like you're walking through a kind of like a bazaar in a way, like an indoor bazaar. And then towards like the cash register, the guys were going to have a stand where it was going to be a subscription service. And it'd be like, hey, before you check out, do you want to sign up for the subscription service? It's called Bad News. And then they would talk to people as they were like on the way out of the store. So we were going to do it that way and, you know, do the pandemic, we ended up filming it in this more like kind of classic Joker's way of like the guys pitching a different subscription service that they made for each other against each other. So that's kind of how this bit changed during the pandemic. But then also it was the first bit that we filmed during the pandemic, or one of the first, which is why you see the guys breaking so much. Like Joe Gatto is breaking in this bit because he didn't play Impractical Jokers for like 6 months coming into this. And when he's out there on the floor, he's just got the giggles and it's really fun to see.
Yep. It is funny. Yeah. It's yeah. He's in a, it's like odd spirits.
Yeah.
It's rare that Sal's doing something and he's laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He holds it together so well on the floor. I think he actually gets a little mad. You seem like punch Sal at one point, like playfully, but yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah. It's a nice moment.
And all, I love the products, man. There's so many good, nothing to me beats, what's the one? I'm so bad. No, don't open it. Like, it's okay, open it.
Bad news?
Bad news is a good one, too. I love Dr. Frankenstein's Hamster Revival. That's in my top three for sure. But the wait, like, it's okay, go ahead, open it.
Oh, yeah.
That one's called, I'm always going to forget the name a little bit, where it's like, it does not have tiny hands that will come out and grab you. It's my favorite.
Open it, it's okay.
Open it, it's okay.
Open it, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll run them down. So you got 23 in Him.
Yep.
Then you got Bad News. Mm-hmm. And then you went back to Murr with A Little Taste of Wayne, New Jersey, which shout out, because I know a lot of people from Wayne, New Jersey. And then Open It, It's Okay. And then the next turn, you got Bougie Bag.
Bougie Bag.
Dr. Frankenstein, Hamster Revival,
yep.
A Scapegoat, and then Thriddle.
Yeah, man. Those are some good ones. And yeah, all pretty of them.
A Scapegoat got me. A Scapegoat got me Joe laughing.
Too, right? It got Joe and he made it for Sal. Like, but it's like seeing the graphics and everything and hearing him talk about it, it's just so funny.
And he goes, and this is my favorite one that you've done. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good, man.
Yeah, he covered it well. That's disrespectful, but then a good cover.
Yeah, right? Just like laughing at your own jokes. So funny. Yeah, man. I really enjoyed this bit. Yeah. Which one would you sign up for? Is there one of these that you would pick from there that is like you think the most viable option?
Because
I've got my answer.
What's yours?
Dr. Frankenstein's Hamster Revival. That just sounds like,
oh, pretty good.
If it's less than the cost of a new hamster, okay. Like, I wish this was on Shark Tank. That's like the next step, right?
Yeah.
You bring it to like the Shark Tank guy, like Lori's a fan of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Cuban and Mr. Wonderful and stuff, but you know, start talking to the guys about like what you're trying to make in Q1, you know, whether they want franchise rights or, you know, all the other things that they want.
Lori's been on the show.
Yeah.
After Party.
Yeah, she's been on AP.
Oh, yeah, she's been on After Party. Yeah. That's right.
She's been on the show.
Yeah.
Love
her. She has been. Yeah, and Sal recently did a podcast with her or something. They stay in touch.
Yeah, she's dope. She's super dope.
That's great.
Yeah, I love that show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a big Mr. Wonderful stan.
Mm.
Oh, he's great.
But we should do a thing with them. We should really collaborate and do something where, I don't know who, you know, maybe they, I don't know. Maybe we do something with the sharks that don't know the show.
Mm.
I would love to get them in a room.
That would be super dope.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Or like some of, you know, how like they say yes to people and then they like catch back up with a group.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I would love if Lori's like, hey, I want to bring this person on as like 3% of the company, you know? And then the guys are pitching their bad ideas to like these, like, you know, baby sharks, baby. I won't do it. I didn't say it. Shay did it. Not me.
Cause you started it. Shit. Now it's going to be in my head.
It's going to be in everybody's head. And I apologize.
Alexa, play baby.
Yeah. I'm so happy I got these headphones on because Alexa would have did it.
Yeah. She's a little too responsive, but yeah, these are fun. And it's a fun bit. I hope we get to bring that back or do a version of something like that. I love doing stuff with it, whether it's products or colognes or, you know, coming up with those are really fun.
Yeah. It's a great bit.
And then even coming up with stuff like maybe an idea where your entire lawn is painted pink. What do you think about that idea?
Man, a wild one. I remember that's like, I want to say all Sal, but I know it's all three of those guys, but it's just like, he was like every detail. He's like, I want everything pink. It was like,
yeah,
every blade of grass pink, everything.
Yeah. And I was, when I saw the drone footage, that to me was like, wow, that is the way that Sal thought of it to be so visual is brilliant because it looks so good. It's really a spectacle.
Yes. All the neighbors thought so too.
The neighbors. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. Actually, wait. So Shay, can you give us a little background on this? Cause I know you played a large part in getting Murray away from his house for this bit.
Oh, was it a task?
Yeah.
So we shot this right after the pandemic, right when we can start like shooting in everything again.
Yeah,
that's right.
So I have to convince James Murray to spend the night at a hotel so that we can paint his lawn, because it takes about 5 hours in order to paint that. And then it has to dry. In order for us to do it, we need to do, you know, put up cameras and lights and everything that we as a production need to do. So trying to talk him into staying at a hotel, which is not too far from his house, was a lot. I left that up to Pete McPartland, our good Emmy Award winning producer, to figure that part out. So he did that. And he was still asking me questions. Why do I have to stay there? I don't have to talk to Pete. Let me get Pete on the phone, because I don't know how to answer this. I can call Pete. We just got back. I don't know, sir. What do we do? So he finally decided, like, we finally got him to stay at the hotel. Him and he's married by this time. So him and his wife had to get everybody out the house, because I don't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. They were saying, mm-hmm. Let's leave Melissa there. Nope, sorry. I don't trust anybody. Everybody has to go. I don't know who's going to say what or when or what. And he has cameras in his house. I know where all his cameras are, because I... Don't kill me. I kind of went there during COVID just to, because I missed them. Uh-huh. I missed them a little bit.
If you were, hey, you're in MERS pod.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We all got tested and everything. So I went to his house. So I kind of knew the lay of the land and knew where all the cameras and all that stuff was. So we mm-hmm. actually had to go there the day before to paint the lawn, hide the cameras, like kind of cover the cameras and set up our cameras and lights and all that good stuff too.
You did all that?
I mean, production.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was there for 2 days.
Oh, okay. Production nice. Did
that
though. Yeah, yeah.
But we finally got him out and we set up everything and all that good stuff. And then the next day, like the lawn people came in, they painted, I want to say maybe around after we put up the cameras, maybe like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So we had to get there before they left so that, you know, we know everything is good and everything. They ran out of paint. Mm-hmm. They ran out of paint. So we had to go get more paint. James Murray just bought this nice, beautiful red Tesla. It's sitting in the driveway. I'm on my way to set. My phone is going crazy. It's so many text messages, calls. I'm ignoring them because I'm on my way to set. I'm not at work yet. Don't bother me until I get there. So my phone is going off. I finally, Stella, our production manager, I finally answer the phone. She's like, we got paint on Murray's Tesla. What?
What? Unintentionally?
I didn't hear any of this. I love this detail.
The paint company. Oh, yeah, I have stories. The paint company that we got to paint the lawn, they went somehow or another, got into his the water holes or whatever. The water holes opens up by accident and sprays all over his nice Tesla.
Oh, like on his sprinkler? Like it got, like, yes. They got paint on the sprinklers. The sprinklers went off, sprayed the Tesla.
Yes, because they got the water, they got the paint into the water, into the sprinkler pack so that it comes out the sprinkler. So that they can finish, you know, spraying the lawn or whatever. Yeah. But somehow or another, the sprinkler didn't turn off and it got all over his Tesla.
Oh, wow. Man. So there was an extra punishment. You're saying there's an extra punishment.
That was my punishment. Man. So I finally, I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? So now I have to get Melissa involved because I'm not driving his Tesla. So Melissa, his beautiful wife, saves the day. She gets the Tesla cleaned and everything. And it parks back in the exact spot that it was in. And Mer knew nothing about it. But
wow.
He still calls because he doesn't want to. He wants to leave the hotel. He doesn't. He wants to be in his house. It's his brand new home.
Yeah,
yeah.
Makes sense.
It's big, guys. He has a big. He's a nice house. He wants.
Yeah,
to
that house. That's a lot of. People.
And he has Mer games and stuff. There's a hot tub. There's a pool. There's a zip line. He, you know, Mer wants to play and stuff. So he's calling me to get me there. Then I finally get him.
Yeah.
And I have to drive him another way to get to his house. That he doesn't see the, because if he comes the way that he normally comes, he would definitely see the lawn before he gets to his. So we drive all the way around and he's like, what's going on? What are we doing? Is this a punishment, Shay? James, I've asked him the questions. So where are we going? Why are we going this way? I don't understand. And then he gets there and I'm like, I'm going to get out right here. You just drive in because I got to go. We had a trailer. Yeah. Like I have to go in the trailer and pick up some paperwork and you just drive in. I had the earpiece in my ear so I can hear everything. It was the best day of my life.
That.
It was the best day of my life because I got tortured. Like, it was the questions and why do I have to stay here? I don't want to stay here. And it was a lot. It was a lot.
That's so funny.
That's such a good, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Beautiful punishment out of it. I'll do it again.
It's so funny because you just said, like, if anyone's ever thrown a surprise party, you've gone through that before where you're lying to the person and all that stuff. And so you did the same thing to your friend James there. But it's funny because it's like throwing him a surprise party, but it is a surprise punishment. The complete opposite of a party. But you're just as thrilled to get it done.
And you have to, he doesn't believe me anymore. You have to remember after the blankie pun where I went into his apartment and I had to steal his blankie so that he doesn't believe me. He doesn't trust me. anything after that. Everything that I tell him is like, yeah, okay, whatever, Shay. So where are we really going? What are we really doing?
He trusts nobody.
So even if it's something real, even if it's something as a friend,
it's over. It's over. That killed it.
That happens though. He will text me or call me every now and then and be like, what are you guys doing? I know you're up to something. I'm like, we're not filming, man. Like, what's up? I'm at dinner. And it's like, he's like, well, okay. Well, I'm here in my hotel room and I just saw like whatever it was at this time. Like, and I know that this is a trick that you guys are playing on me. And I'm like, and then I like, you know, text like Casey or someone and be like, are we doing a punishment to Murray today that I forgot about? And he's like, no. And it's just like, yeah, like when you're on this show, like we talk about like these guys' realities, like their realities are messed right now.
Yes.
Because at any point, it really could be a punishment.
And they do these things to each other in real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the whole, when Joe went in Sal's room, but he got to the hotel before him and shit in his bathroom and turned like the shower on so it's hot. And then all he smelled was like hot shit. That's true. Like they do all of it's these things in real life. So you never know. It's crazy. But James is the worst when it comes to punishments. He always asks questions and tries to figure things out. And you have to kind of like super, super hide and stuff.
He's nervous. He wants to know.
Not the worst. I think Sal is tougher. I feel like Sal asks more questions. I feel like
it's true.
I feel like Murr. I don't even know if we would have got Sal to the hotel, to be honest, to get out of his house for the day. Like Murr sometimes would be like, you get him to a hotel and he doesn't know what it's going to be, and you know, surprise, he gets punished the next day. But like,
I think it's a different type of concern.
Gotcha.
It's a different like Sal is just concerned about what's going to happen to me. What's going on, Shay? What are we doing? What's going to happen? I remember the corn maze pun.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I remember I had to meet me like maybe 30 minutes away from location.
Yeah.
And I took a car there and then drove his car back to location and the whole time. So where are we? Okay. And then he's looking up. So what's around here? Okay. I see airports and he's trying to figure out what it is, but he's so nervous about what's going to happen to him. James, on the other hand, just wants to, he doesn't care what's going to happen to him.
Right.
He just wants to know what's going on. It's a different type of, so he's more into like, so, okay, we're out here. We spoke about this, okay, and there's a farm over there. Is there pigs involved, Shay? No, there's no damn pigs involved. Like it's a different type of, it's for a lot. Sure.
It is, yeah.
I'm coming to the writer's room, damn
come
it.
Come in. Now it's it is this link.
Yeah.
The link welcome. That we do the podcast on is the
I'm coming.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come anytime you want. You know, this background is always helpful for us to come up with things. Now we know that Murr is always afraid, so we could use that against him.
He's always afraid.
It's true.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I mean the pink mole, see, I remember that being a thing. It was like so funny, weird, man. The mole piano was so weird to me.
Oh my god!
I like the water balloons. I like the pink water balloons. Yeah, but I guess that's what moles do. I think that was the reason why it was in the punishment. It's like, why is a mole bad for a garden? It's like they rip it up, they urinate it, they destroy your garden in that way. So I guess that's why I was in. I was like watching it and trying to piece it all together there myself. But it definitely does make you feel like you're tripping balls, like Murray said.
Yeah,
when you're watching, that's just it looks like a Willy Wonka type scene. It's crazy.
Yes,
it's true. It's true. Of course, we got to talk about Rob Emmer showing up. We were saying Joan Bergio was telling us that there's a lot of conversations online with whether or not it's intentional or unintentional that he makes these mistakes, and we're not going to tell you. That's one thing we're not going to let you know behind the scenes if it's unintentional or intentional. Mm. Correct.
He's the prestige, right? Like that's the whole thing. Where you can't reveal a magician's secret like that. We'll never say for
that's
sure.
Right.
What do the guys say all the time? How does he always blow it?
Yep.
That is what they will say. And it is insane how I love it. I love Rob. He's, first of all, the nicest guy. Mm-hmm. And he flew across the country to be in a bit for us. And it's just like amazing. Just him coming out in his detective gear and almost, I wish he backed, I don't wish any ill on Murray. So I don't want to say it like that, but I wish he just backed up through that gate because it would have been so funny. It was so close to happening and it would have been like, it would have been perfect. It would have been perfect. But I guess all in all, I'm happy Murray didn't have to deal with that headache.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, Rob's the best, man. I can't get enough of him. I'm so happy, you know, he's still in episodes of the show.
Rob is hilarious.
Yeah, it's good. It's the camera's not working. He closes the door on his jacket. Like that stuff is so pure and beautiful that it's really funny that that's like to me, it's I love when the show sometimes is like, this is no longer even about the punishment, and yet it's still a punishing element. Like, it's bothering Murr. He's like frustrated by it. It's really great.
For sure. It definitely, like, you could tell Murr was like, at that point, didn't even care as long as things. He's like, just worried about it. He's like, Hammer, come on. Like, you know, finish the bit. Like, you know, like, don't drive through the gate now. And yeah, the Home and Gardens, I think, was the magazine that Emmer purported to be reporting for with a Z at the end.
It took me a good five tries to get Emmer to go inside, because he's like outside and he's parked in a car. I'm standing there to give him his cue to go into the gate. Rob, all right, you can go in now. Huh? Rob, go in. Huh? Rob, you can go in now. Oh, where do I go? Rob, go into the gate. It took like a good five. Good five.
Yeah, it took a while. And then again, we talked about the reality of the world. No one's like laughing on the floor at that moment when he's like, you know, Rob's interacting with them, and like gets awkward sometimes. So it's like you push a little bit more to try to get a joke, and then you have to be like, no, Rob, don't do that. So it's just the best. But it's like, what do you want him to do? It's like any like actor, any comedian, like you're going to push till you get a reaction kind of. And it sometimes, you know, it can be a weird kind of isolating feeling out there when you're there and there's silence, you know. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's pretty
it's
amazing.
A unique show. Yeah, the Joker show is so unique. Like, yeah, like the BTS is basically the laugh track, you know, all the other guys like laugh in the back, but when you're just out there, it is silent in those rooms and on the floor when the Joker's doing their turns,
and the signal's bad. You couldn't really hear out there either. It's a lot. So he couldn't hear what he was being prompted to. It's a lot.
It is.
A lot.
I just wish he backed into that gate. That would be the icing on the pancake.
I want him to just drive through it now. Like, can we just do that as a punishment? Yeah. Like, get him in, like, I don't know, some kind of Rob Emmermobile and just have him plow through the gate. But I loved it. Fun punishment.
Fun punishment, fun episode. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And the most fun pod, you know? Just to be around the two of you, my sister and my brother.
Right. It's all family here. And any of our extended family out there, if you have questions, please ask us. You can get on Twitter, hashtag Joker's Podcast. Ask us any kind of questions you have about the show, how we're filming during the pandemic, something we may have missed in an episode last week that you're like, hey, what about this? We'll try to respond.
Do we have like an Instagram page or anything yet?
I don't know. We have our own, but yeah, aside from that, you know, we're this like fun, scrappy podcast, and that's what people like
I'm
about
us.
I'm not
mad at that. I was just wondering.
Follow Shay on Instagram and ask her questions. Shay Starchild. Is that what it is?
As Danny Hollis, our audio director, would say, Chasterchild. It's CHA.
That's so funny.
CHA Starchild. CHASTARCHILD.
Chasterchild. And I'm at Casey Jost, at Mick James McCarthy. Please, let us know if you have any questions. And thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. See you next week.
Peace.
The official Impractical Joker Podcast.